Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Mother's Day. Gentlemen, if you forgot, the only thing you got left for you is lunch and maybe flowers. If your mom is still alive, call her today. If your mom is not still alive, call somebody else's mom today and tell them thankful. Tell her you're thankful for her presence in your life. 3 weeks ago, we got together and we talked about God's kindness. And at the end of the lesson, I left you with three things. And I was thankful for Brother Woodford's prayer this morning. He said, help us to do something. And I asked you to do three things. One, while we were in service, I asked you to make a list of God's kindness to you. And I asked you during the intervening weeks to pray to thank God for those blessings that He gave you. And the other thing I asked you to do was, while you were there praying, ask God to open your eyes to the other blessings that He gives you on a regular basis. This morning, I want to look at the practical application of God's kindness to us, and that is our kindness to others. And so this morning, I want to look at Christian kindness. And we're going to start in essentially the same place we started 3 weeks ago. And that's in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, as in Christ God forgave you. Now, doing all that is probably not humanly possible. But do you know that in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, we are told that with God, all things are possible? How important is kindness? If you look on the internet for studies on kindness, you will find hundreds and hundreds of them. And interestingly enough, it has taken a very long time for the secular world to catch up with the Bible. And do you know what they've decided? They've decided that being kind to other people is actually good for you. Being kind to other people is mentally useful to you. It is physiologically useful to you. It's also useful, obviously, to the people who are receiving your kindness. But there was one particular study that caught my eye. It was from 2003. It was a study of 37 cultures all the way around the world. They interviewed 16,000 people. And they asked all of them, what is your most desired trait in a mate? And for both sexes, the answer was kindness. People want to be treated kindly. But most of us have a hard time being kind to other people. There was also a study done on bullies in schools. And they wanted to learn, why do you bully other people? And the conclusion, fairly simply, was, because I like it. And what that study illustrates is the cruelty and meanness that is inherent in human nature, and perhaps the need to understand that kindness is taught. Kindness needs to be learned. Now, unfortunately, some of us have gotten the impression that kindness is not for the go-getters, it's for weak people. But those people are mistaken, because our Lord was described as kind and meek, and nobody considered Him weak. Joel Manby, some of you will remember the name. He showed up on Undercover Boss. He is the current CEO of SeaWorld. He's the ex-CEO of Hershen Family Entertainment. And he is, by anyone's definition, a go-getter. He wrote a book called Love Works. And what he details in that book is how to run an enterprise with kindness. For those of you who don't recognize that name, he's known as a turnaround king. He takes corporations that are failing and brings them back into the black. He is a go-getter. If we want God, who has ultimate control of the universe, to be kind to us, we need to exemplify that kindness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, we read, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And that principle is echoed throughout the New Testament. Now, we have a lot of excuses for not being kind. "I'm too busy." "That person deserves the suffering." Or, "You know what? God may be just punishing him." If you would like to see a fascinating example of that, go read the book of Job. Job's friends show up to comfort him. And essentially what they do for a week is tell him, "You're just a sinner anyway, and that's why you are where you are." Which is not overly comforting to dear Job. But God isn't looking for excuses for why we fail to show kindness to one another. The Apostle Paul accurately foretold a cold and hard-hearted world in those last days. And as a result, people are starved for the milk of human kindness. But we need to learn what kindness is. Kindness starts with caring, being tender-hearted and compassionate toward others. If you look in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, what it says is, "The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel." If God wants us to be kind to animals, how much more does He want us to be kind to each other? And again, if you look back in the book of Matthew, there are several other examples that run along the same line. God says, you know, or Jesus says, if God takes care of the sparrows who are dead tomorrow, how much more will He take care of you? We need to make it a goal to look for opportunities to show kindness to one another. When we see an opportunity to be kind, we need to act quickly before that opportunity is gone. I had one of these yesterday. It was kind of interesting. I was actually on my way home, and there was this guy broken down in the middle of the road. He was not trying to move his car anywhere. He was just sitting there pounding his head on his steering wheel. And so I pulled out of traffic. I was going to go help him push his car out of the middle of the road. But before I could find some place to park and go get him, a tow truck showed up. And I was like, okay, well, and I confess that it took me a while to think, okay, he really needs help. You should go back and help him. And by the time I'd done that, that opportunity was gone. The time for kindness is when you see that it needs to be done. Now, we interact with people all the time, and quite frankly, most of the people with whom we interact are strangers. Do they see a light shining when they see us? It's important for us to be kind and gentle, forgiving and patient. This way, we're always ready to have a positive effect on other people and be outstanding representatives of God and His way of life. In Matthew 25, starting in verse 37, we read, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" And you say, "Oh, that person's not a member of my church." Really? No. You don't know whose church they're a member of. When you see a need for kindness, be kind. And I would ask you to challenge yourself to be kind and positive and make someone's day better because they met you. Think about all the people that you see throughout your day. You don't know where they're from. You don't know what they're going through. And most of the time, we don't even know their names. Now, again, Miss Newton was very kind, and she left a blank slot for you in the top of your bulletin on the inside. Divide that blank space into two columns, please. In that first column, what I want you to do is I want you to think about all the people you run into every day. And I'm going to help you with just some of them. How about checkout clerks? Gas station attendants? Food service workers? Retail workers? Custodial staff? People driving on the road? Receptionists, secretaries, maintenance people, joggers, post office workers, delivery workers. I want you to think for just a minute about the impressions those people have on you, keeping in mind that most of those people we interact with for less than 60 seconds. How many times do you walk away from an exchange thinking, holy cow, is that person having a bad day? Julie and I live in an area where the person who delivers our mail is not consistent. It's frequently different people. And it's interesting because these are people that we see for probably 30 seconds as they drop off mail, high by, that kind of thing. But it is amazing the impressions that they leave. Oh, that one's the grumpy one. We don't need to deal with him. Oh, she's the cheerful one. Oh, that's the one you don't want to get in front of because she's got a lead foot. Less than 60 seconds. But they left an impression. What kind of impression are you leaving on those people? As you continue working on your own list, the people you run into, remember God's instruction for us to be a light to others. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, we read, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, you and I are probably only going to interact with these strangers for a minute at most. But think about what kind of impression you're leaving on those people in those 60 seconds or less. It is important that God's people are kind, gentle, forgiving, patient. This way, we're always ready to have a positive effect on others and be good representatives of God and His way of life. Now, this might seem like a small or unimportant effort, but remember what God says about things that seem that way. From Luke chapter 16, verse 10, we read, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities." How do we share our faith with kindness? Believe it or not, it doesn't have to be rocket science. Here's an odd one. Watch. You laugh, but it works. Just smile at somebody. How about giving eye contact? How many times do you check out, whether the clerk, because you're in a hurry and you don't ever even look up at the person who's ringing you out? Waving. And I'll tell you that I annoy my wife with this one. But I have trained most of my neighbors to wave at me. When we first moved into the neighborhood, nobody waved. But I would stop my car and roll down my window if they didn't wave back at me, because I wanted to make sure I was, "See me. Hello. We live in the same neighborhood. I don't need to be friends with you, intimate confidants, but doggone it, we can be friendly." And do you know there are two people in my neighborhood that I have just cannot get away from? And I am convinced that one of them, he's an older fella, and I think he's just mostly going blind. I think he just doesn't see me, and I've decided to leave him alone at this point. But waving at people, you know what? It does brighten people's day just to be acknowledged. How about saying please when you ask somebody for something? I know it's a small thing, but so many times we walk into stores and say, give me that. Give me one of those. Yes, you're purchasing it. Yes, you're a customer. That means you can't be polite. Be kind. How about forgiving a mistake somebody made or overlooking a mistake somebody made? Now, here's one. And again, this is one that I know bothers my wife, but I ask cashiers how they're doing. Cashiers are like, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? And it takes most of them back because they're not used to being asked. And you know what? If they want to give me a dissertation of their life, I'm going to stand there and listen. Most of them just say they're fine, but they're absolutely amazed that anybody asked. How about holding the door for people and letting them go first? Now, a lot of these places, you know, like retail establishment, if you let somebody else go in first, you know what that means? They're going to get to the cash register before you too. Is it that big a deal? How about offering to help carry things? Now, be careful with this one because, you know, people are going to be leery if you're asking to take stuff out of their hands. How about telling people thank you? And I know it's a little thing, but we used to do this kind of stuff all the time and we do it less and less. How about just a positive, casual conversation? Have you ever noticed how often conversations at the water cooler are negative? People want to find things to complain about. Here's a thought. Is there anything good going on in your life? Why don't you discuss that? How about just saying, I hope you have a good day? Challenge yourself to be kind and positive. Try and brighten someone else's day. Now, when you're first starting this out, just pick one day where you're going to try and be nice all day. And you know what? It's hard to be nice all day. I understand that. But we need to take the actions above and apply them to the people that we already put in our list. Wave to the mailman. Thank the janitor. Ask the cashier how he or she is doing. You might need not even have a full minute with these people, but see how much of an influence you can have on those people with the time that you're given. Now, by reaching out to others in kindness, you are being a light in a dark world. There is no telling what that other person was going through during the rest of the day, but you can be a light to that person, and that can make a lot of difference to them. The Greek word for kind is Christos. And part of the meaning behind Christos is being useful, which makes it clear that biblical kindness involves some action. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Action includes some kind of self-sacrifice, and therefore generosity on our part. And what we're really talking about for most of these is time. Yes, you have to take an extra couple of seconds to say hi to somebody. It does take a couple of extra seconds if you're going to open a door and let somebody else through it. Of course, the emphasis on deeds over words doesn't mean that words aren't important. Action can include those words. Encouraging words of comfort, courtesy, compliments, and even correction can be heartwarming acts of kindness. And that last one seems strange. But I was a teacher for 23 years. And I can tell you, I have seen students do things that they knew would push their parents' button just to see if their parents were paying attention. And you would be amazed at how often they're not. And all they want is the attention. Let's see. There are lots of proverbs about being kind to one another. And you need to be careful what you say and what you don't say. You need to know something about the person to whom you're speaking so that you're not offensive. We need to help people with their emotional wounds rather than rubbing salt in those wounds. One motive, or our motives for charitable deeds, should not be to impress anyone. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. For if you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. For truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." The greatest rewards from God come when our acts of kindness are done humbly, quietly, and when practical, anonymously. Now understand that doing favors to get a favor in return, it's not wrong. You know, unless it's illegal, like bribery or something. But a favor that's done to get something else is not kindness, it's payment. Kindness is lending a helping hand when you don't expect anything in return. Now, interestingly enough, the Bible talks a lot about dealing with our family, our blood family, our Christian family, and quite frankly, kindness begins with family. But ironically or tragically, however you'd like to call that, those same studies we were talking about earlier say that most of us are the least kind to the people with whom we live. And you know what? God sees that too. Jesus Christ emphasized that we need to be kind to everyone, not just family and friends. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, he says that if you do this, your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to even the unthankful and the evil. Be kind to unthankful people? Now, wouldn't you think that if you and I were kind to hundreds of other nice people, doesn't that prove that we're nice people? We're kind people? And the answer is yes, by the world's standards, that makes us kind. But we aren't living by the world's standards, we're living by God's. In order to be honored by the Most High, we need to be kind even to those ungrateful people. Most of the time, if we do good deeds for someone and there's no thank you, we're annoyed. And I have to say, I know you get tired of my driving examples, but driving is one of my shortcomings. I get annoyed. If I'm in a long line of traffic and I let you out, I expect you to say thank you. And I get annoyed if you don't. I'm working on it. I am. But our reacting in this way is not sufficient if we want to be sons of the Most High. We need to be asking ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then do that. Now you need to understand there are a lot of people out in the world who are suspicious of you doing favors for them, because they assume that you have an ulterior motive and you're out to manipulate them or you're out to hurt them. Those people need kindness more than anybody else. Persistent efforts to be kind to those people can eventually prove that you are a genuinely kind person. Furthermore, your kindness can bring about a progressive healing for a lot of wounded hearts. It takes effort to be kind. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, the Apostle Paul refers to human nature as the flesh, and our natural tendencies as the works of the flesh. Now, those works of the flesh include hatred, jealousy, selfish ambition, and envy. And all of those things are selfish and self-centered. Kindness requires just the opposite. It requires that we care and have concern for other people. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, we read, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." That would change the world a lot, huh? Our innate human nature must be replaced by God's. And that can only happen by receiving the gift of God's Spirit dwelling in us and the wonderful fruit that it produces. We read about that fruit in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. That fruit would be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each characteristic here clearly relates to the others in that list. But interestingly enough, long-suffering, the one just before kindness, appears in a number of other lists in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, in Colossians 3, verse 12, and in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, we read that both are important components of love because love suffers long and is kind. Now you might ask yourself, how is it that you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, the Apostle Peter explains that basic requirements in Acts 2:38, where he says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There are lots of examples of kindness in the Bible. Great examples of kindness can inspire us to greater kindness. If you look in 2 Samuel chapter 9, you read about Mephibosheth and David's kindness to him. You have to understand, and I'm just going to give you a really brief synopsis of that story. Mephibosheth is a danger to David. Mephibosheth is in the direct descent of Saul and has a legitimate claim to the throne. He is a son of Jonathan. But because of David's love for Jonathan, he seeks out anyone that might be related to Jonathan. He brings him to his own home. He feeds him at his own table. He restores all the lands of his grandfather to him because of his love for Jonathan. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a Shunammite woman and her husband who build a room for Elisha. They're not kin. Elisha just happens to come through the area frequently. And out of the kindness of their hearts, this man and this woman build a room for Elijah and his servant. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Dorcas, a beloved woman who was full of good works and charitable deeds. In Luke chapter 10, we read about the Good Samaritan. In Acts chapter 4, we read about Barnabas, a man whose name means son of encouragement. That would be a fairly impressive moniker, yes? Another, of course, is the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31 who attends to the needs of her family and other people's families. In verse 20, she extends her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. And in verse 26, on her tongue is the law of kindness. May our tongues be guided by kindness. Jesus Christ practiced kindness that was radical for his time and for his culture. He always had a great concern for women and men, for children as well as adults, for other races as well as the Jews, for the sick and the weak as well as the strong. And frequently he wore himself out for people, healing them, feeding them, praying for them, helping them in other ways. Because when Jesus looked on the multitudes of people with all their problems and sicknesses and confusions, he was filled with compassion for them. You can find that in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 18. And as we look at the people around us, we too need to be moved with compassion. We too should be helping, giving, sharing, encouraging, extending mercy, being filled with compassion and acting on it as we are able. In a word, we need to be kind to one another. With each of us, may the fruit of kindness continue to blossom and grow. May we strive to follow in those footsteps of Jesus Christ who personified God's kindness. And one of the things that I would like you to do during this week, show God's light to other people. Show God why, or not God, show other people why God is matters to you. Can people even tell that you're a Christian when you leave here? They should be able to. In just a minute, I'm going to let Mr. Carter get back up and lead singing. And when he does that, we'll give you an opportunity to come forward. And if you'd like to know more about baptism or more about Christ's kindness, I'll be up front to talk with you. Our elders will be up front to talk with you, and we'd be happy to do that for you then. But, remember you divided your sheet into two? Write those names down. Next week, we have four graduates that we are going to honor. And they're in alphabetical order, just in case you wondered. Not order of importance. Jordan Contreras, Jaden DeCuba, Stephen Masterson, and Elizabeth Newton are all graduating from high school. And we will be honoring them next Sunday after services. Please plan to stick around. We'll have cake and we'll have something to drink. So that we can spend a couple of minutes honoring this accomplishment in their lives.